Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word written, and we thank you for your word made flesh, the Lord Jesus. Please instruct us and help us to serve Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, it was a great pleasure last night and this morning to meet past members of the church, and it's a great privilege to be the present vicar of St Alfred's when it's got such a great history and I think such a great future. Maybe 50 years is not so long when you think about the history of Christianity, but nevertheless, every church has to begin somewhere, and it's an appropriate time to look back and see what God has been doing and to celebrate and to thank God for what has happened. A lot has changed in Melbourne over those 50 years, not least of which is the slow and steady decline of many churches since the 1960s. I've heard stories that a long time ago at St Alfred's there were hundreds and hundreds of kids at Sunday schools, and that's not an uncommon bit of the history of many churches back in the 60s. But now you can see we've sent out some children to Sunday school, certainly weren't hundreds, but in many churches this morning there'll be no children. And so one of the things that we are celebrating today is that God has created through the hard work of many people over many years the present St Alfred's, which is full of vitality, full of life, as committed to preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus as ever, and as dedicated to helping people become mature followers of Jesus. So with this in mind, it's appropriate today that we mark the celebration with confirmation. This morning we'll have two adults who'll be confirmed by Bishop Barbara, and a further group will be confirmed tonight. Confirmation allows candidates to make public the quiet growth in faith that may have been going on for some years. And this growth is the outworking of the regular ministries of any church: Bible teaching, of prayer, of support groups, of mutual encouragement, of mentoring. And that's the sort of work that goes on imperceptibly here at St Alfred's, and I'm sure in many of the churches that you represent. Now, let me just explain confirmation a little bit. There is a dual aspect to confirmation. On the one hand, each candidate is confirming something, and on the other hand, the bishop, as a representative of the wider church, is confirming something. First of all, the candidates. What the candidates are doing are confirming that he or she believes what was said on their behalf at their baptism. Essentially, they're saying, yes, I do believe in the Lord Jesus, and now I'm old enough and sure enough in my faith to actually make that public. Many people are baptized when they're too young to understand what baptism means, and it may not be till many years later that they reach this point of maturity in their faith and confidence about what Christianity means, and dedicated enough to try and follow Jesus themselves personally. So confirmation is an opportunity to mark this new stage in faith, which may have been occurring just incrementally. And so every time someone is confirmed, we rejoice, not only that this person has reached this stage of faith, but that the church has been doing its quiet job of growing disciples. And later in the service, each candidate will tell you a little more personally why they are getting confirmed and who they'd like to thank that's helped them. So much for the candidates. What about the bishop's role? What is the bishop confirming? You'll see throughout the liturgy of today's service that there are many references to the Holy Spirit. The bishop, in effect, is confirming to the candidates that God has given them the gift of his Holy Spirit. So on the one hand, the candidates are confirming their faith in Jesus, and on the other hand, the bishop is confirming that God has given them his Holy Spirit to actually follow Jesus. That's the dual confirmation that is going on. The bishop's prayers for the candidates, if you listen carefully to the liturgy, the bishop's prayers will be imbued with words like strengthen, empower, grow this person in the Holy Spirit, so that they are empowered by the Spirit for Christian service. So that's what confirmation is about. Let me now just come to the Bible reading. You might wonder why this particular Bible reading. Well, as a church, we've been reading through the book of Galatians, or the letter of Galatians, and we've come to this stage in the letter, late in chapter 5, and the beginning of chapter 6. It's an awkward little section. It's very difficult to decide where the structural breaks are, and the commentators all disagree about that, so I'm quite happy to just make my own decisions. So I've picked this slightly awkward section from the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6. And you'll see in that, one reason why I've picked it for today is there's a lot of reference to the Spirit. For those of you who are visiting today, if you'd like to hear some of the back sermons, the earlier sermons in this series on Galatians from St Alfred's, you can look on our website at www.stalfreds.org and you'll find them under the tab headed Resources. Now, I simply want to make one point on today's passage, which is something that David Williams, who preached here last Sunday, made in his sermon. And that is that living by the Spirit is something that we do together and something we do individually. Living by the Spirit is something we do as church and something we do as individual Christians. It's both a corporate and a personal activity. Now, what do I mean by that? Paul's fundamental thesis here in Galatians is that when people are confronted by the gospel, when the gospel takes effect on people, when people learn who Jesus is and they realise who Jesus is, people change. People change their habits and their attitudes. The work of the Spirit is what makes this change happen, both in an individual, which can be seen when they turn from their ungodly attitudes and ungodly habits, and also in a church, when a church becomes more godly or Christ-like in its behaviours. So when the Holy Spirit is at work, people change and churches change. Now, we haven't read this today, but just prior to the little section in Galatians 5, we're told the type of people, I think, that the Galatians used to be. And Paul uses words like sexually immoral, idolatrous, jealous, factional, drunken, and various things like that. Now what he's saying is because you've heard the gospel and because you are living by the Spirit or walking by the Spirit, the outworkings of that in your lives is what he calls the fruit, the product, the effect of the Holy Spirit in you personally and in you as a group. And if you look at the list of those, if we could have that back on the screen, the list of those qualities, characteristics that we know as the fruit of the Spirit and contrast them with that other list, you'll see then that when the gospel and the Holy Spirit take effect in people and groups, it's a marked change. They go from that former list to people who are marked out by their love, their peace, their self-control, their gentleness, their kindness, etc. And Paul's command is that once we've started on this path of following Jesus and walking by the Spirit, his command is stay on that path. Keep walking by the Spirit. Keep displaying this sort of characteristic as individuals and as a church. Now, how do we do that? Because it's all well and good to make that command. How do we do that? Well, that's what the rest of the reading is really about. So in order to do that, we must play our part individually. We must maintain the fight we have with our own sin. There's a battle going on inside every one of you as you try and live God's way, but you have these weaknesses and you know the struggle. Paul is saying we must keep fighting our flesh, is literally what he says, our sinful nature. But we also must help our brothers and sisters do this. So on the one hand, Paul can say in these verses, don't become conceited and provoke one another, chapter 5, verse 26. Watch yourself lest you be tempted, chapter 6, verse 2, and examine your own actions, chapter 6, verse 4. Take responsibility for your attitudes and actions. Why? Now, in the translation, this is not translated very well. Why? Because chapter 6, verse 5 is actually a future tense, because one day you will carry your own load. That future tense is an implication of the final judgment. You must take responsibility for your own actions and attitudes, because one day you will stand before God with whatever you have. You will be responsible. So that's the individual part of it. Yet Paul also says, look out for one another. Chapter 6, verse 1, help a brother or sister who is caught in sin. Chapter 6, verse 2, show the love of Christ to others by sharing their burdens. That's the law of Christ, love. Chapter 6, verse 6, share your resources with those who teach you the word of God. All of that is corporate language. Look out for one another, care for one another, help one another, share their burdens, resource those who teach God's word. You see, we're not Lone Ranger Christians. We belong to communities. We belong to communities where Christ is our head. And walking by the Spirit is something we do together as we listen to God's word, as we try and live that out, as we help one another with the daily struggles of being Christians, and as we share whatever the fruit of the Spirit is that God has been growing in us. Isn't it lovely to meet someone who you come away from and say, they're just such a good person, such a gentle person, such a patient person. And that actually rubs off on you, doesn't it? So we do that for one another. And in such ways, we grow personally as disciples of Christ, and in such ways, churches grow and remain spiritually healthy. So today, on this happy occasion, I want to thank God for each of you individually, and especially those who are getting confirmed, to Julie and Jim. And I want to thank God for St. Alfred's as a church and for the many other churches that are represented here today. It is no easy thing to walk by the Spirit over many, many years, individually or as churches. The fact that we are here today is a little sign that God's Holy Spirit is still at work in you, in me, and in our churches. So let's keep in step with the Spirit individually and keep encouraging one another to grow as disciples of Christ. In his name, amen.